They Touched Heaven. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1860.
You will take that back at once.
The Earl of Wentworth glowered across the green card table as he slammed down his glass of brandy on the rosewood surface. The Frenchman stayed impassive. He was a proud scion of ancient noble Huguenot blood, whose family had not escaped the tyranny of a Catholic France to be dictated to by a mere English lord. He merely shrugged his shoulders in an irritating fashion and pursed his lips.
I will not. It is very clear to me that these cards are marked, he answered sardonically.
The Earl's handsome face grew crimson under his black hair, and his dark eyes flashed dangerously. On the other side of the table, his best friend, Sir Thomas Babington, set down his cards and spoke softly.
Come now, Wentworth. There has obviously been some misunderstanding. I think all the Comte is trying to say is that he would like a new deck.
He laid his hand on the Earl's arm to restrain him, as he could see that his friend's temper was near to flashpoint.
The Earl was as fiery as Sir Thomas was placid, and they compensated for each other's shortcomings.
What the Earl lacked in restraint, he made up for in artistic ability. His paintings were lauded everywhere, and he wrote sensitive and thoughtful verse.
Oh, you Englishmen, you cannot shoulder a mere criticism without taking offence, spat Comte de la Mary dismissively. Its eyes should be upset. You are clearly cheating, and then you attempt to put some blame on me.
The Earl arose like a striking python from his chair, as Sir Thomas tried at once to defuse the situation.
Come, gentlemen, let's leave the game and have another drink. There's a fine Armagnac we've yet to try.
The Comte's face took on a sour expression.
You are asking me to back down? Never.
He slumped back in his chair and clutched his cards close to his chest, muttering something in French under his breath that the Earl evidently understood.
Take that back, you blasted Frenchy, he shouted. I didn't spend a year in France to be oblivious to your tawdry insults. Then it's a great pity you did not learn more from us, drawled the Comte. Where are your famous English manners and sense of fair play?
That was enough to incense the Earl, as he leapt over the table and grabbed the Comte by his cravat.
You damned Frenchy dog, he howled, his eyes level with the Comte's.
Wentworth, please, pleaded Sir Thomas.
He has insulted me for the last time, choked the Comte, attempting to prise the Earl's vice-like grip away from his neck.
Richard!
Sir Thomas was beside himself. He had often seen his friend lose his temper, and since his father had died last year, he had been even more volatile than ever. The Earl's hands were curiously large and square, not at all the hands of a gentleman, and they would not have disgraced a field labourer. Sir Thomas knew that he was strong enough to kill the effete Comte with them, and was terrified that one day it might happen. Spluttering, the Comte regained his composure and drew himself up to his full height of 5'7".
Sir, I challenge you to a duel. We shall settle this in the French manner, with swords.
As you wish, muttered the Earl, in a tone that was truly blood-curdling.
The Comte rose from his chair and then ordered the waiter to bring their cloaks. An hour later, the two men stood facing each other in the depths of Hyde Park. The Comte had sent his manservant to his house for swords, but he had returned with two pistols. He then furiously flew into a long stream of angry French, while the Earl and Sir Thomas looked on.
"You have the advantage, Wentworth," whispered Sir Thomas. "He is notoriously near-sighted, and couldn't hit a bull chained to a tree."
"I will kill the blighter,"
fumed the Earl, clenching and unclenching his fists. He had stripped down to his shirt, and, in his haste, he had ripped off the top few buttons. His breast heaved as he tried to steady his nerves. He knew that a shaking hand was as good as signing his own death warrant. The Comte stood in his shirt sleeves, examining his pistol, and was weighing it in his hands when a shout came up from nearby bushes.
"Stop!"
Both men froze.